Today we shall talk about the seventh and the last great reviewing. And tomorrow we will wind up the discourse on these great reviewings. And in the seventh great reviewing also, pretty much like the last one, that is the sixth great reviewing. The only difference is that in the sixth reviewing, it is about the heedful attention as a stamp of a person who possesses the Aryan view. In the case of the seventh and the last one, it is also the strength, but as a result of the strength, the benefits that follow are dealt with. And this is how one considers this. Am I in possession of, as for the Aryan Sarapana, he or she considers thus? Am I in possession of the strength possessed by the one who holds the Aryan view? So such is the Aryan strength. Now what is that Aryan strength? What is the strength of this Arya, or Noble One? As has been explained yesterday, the Buddha preached or proclaimed the Dhamma Vinaya, Dhamma as a teaching for the welfare of all beings, and Vinaya, rules how to conduct oneself while following these teachings. When one is giving this talk, one listens carefully, that was the strength given yesterday. And Buddha himself was given this talk, proclaimed this teaching, Dhamma Vinaya, with compassionate feeling, karuna, with the wisdom of exposition, Dhyanajana. And when somebody is giving this talk on Dhamma Vinaya, one hears it with full attention, understanding the meaning of the Dhamma. When one reflects upon oneself, especially one tries to remember one's experiences of practice and verifying the meaning of the Dhamma with one's own practice, one comes to understand the meaning of the teachings. Hence this expression, Lapati Atta Vedan, Atta Vedan. And then one also understands the spirit of the teachings. Hence one is convinced of both the letter and spirit of the law, and realizes gladness connected with the Dhamma, as is given by Dhamma Sanghita Paramojjam. And Buddha says, thus, monks, one understands the meaning of the Dhamma in the letter and spirit of the Dhamma, and such is the strength of a daily person, a noble one. In this way, the Buddha reveals the second kind of strength as possessed by one who possesses the Aryan view, as the seventh great reviewing. It goes without saying that Buddha himself has said, if someone is giving a talk on this Dhamma Vinaya, doctrine, discipline, a doctrine which is given for the welfare of all beings, and the Vinaya, which is laying down the rules of conduct for the practitioners while they are taking up the practice and following the teaching, while one is listening to this talk on Dhamma Vinaya with full attention, then while listening, as for the Arya, the Noble One, in this case Sarapana, understands the meaning of the talk as given by this expression, Atta Veda, Atta Veda, and also the spirit of the law as given by the Lapati Dhamma Veda. And while one is understanding the letter and the spirit of the law, one becomes, one feels glad. As given by this expression, Dhamma Udayita Paramojna, by which one feels rapture, zest running through the body, that is given as Piti Paramojna. And also one will be experiencing the Piti produced materialities. Because Piti has a function of refreshing one's mind and body. So there will arise this zest or rapture produced materiality, materiality produced by feeling of Piti. And one feels in this way. And as such, whoever is fulfilled with the practice of Vipassana will feel something like this as they hear the Buddha's Dhamma. Even if it's given in Pali, one will come to understand both the letter and spirit of the law and will feel very extremely glad. More than 30 years ago, there was one teenage boy who went along with the embassy to the United Kingdom soon after the independence. And at that time he was not so well versed in English or Burmese. But when he listened to the Dhamma, he undertakes the practice. And he was able to understand, according to him, the meaning of the left. The spirit, the letter and spirit of the law, the meaning and its spirit of the Dhamma, namely Atta Veda, Dhamma Veda. And he said he felt very glad when he heard the Dhamma. So when one is practicing like this, one is bound to understand the meaning, the letter and the spirit of the law, and will become very glad and feeling of piti throughout the body. So he remarked that the Buddha was able to give this talk, which is very inspiring for him. And when one listens to Hari Sayadaw's talk, although it was in Pali, although this boy has not learned Pali, once Hari Sayadaw gave a talk in Pali, he felt very rapturous, and he felt he understood the meaning and the spirit of doctrine. And a few years ago also, a young woman came to practice at the retreat, and he was able to understand the nature of the Dhamma, and she remarked that she felt a transformation in her life while she was still alive. And then she said she found an Aryan home, the home of the Aryas, that means the place where Aryas would be located. So that means to say that she was able to understand this both the spirit, the meaning and the spirit of the law. And she felt that she felt some goose flesh in her body, running through her body, when she heard the Pali verses as given by the late Venerable Master Sero. By listening to this Dhamma Vinaya, one feels, one understands the meaning of the Dhamma that is given by this expression, the Piti Adha Vedan, and also the spirit of the law is given by this expression, the Piti Dhamma Vedan, and becomes glad as a result of listening, of giving, listening with full attention. And when one verifies one's practice with the visual practice, practical practice with the meaning of Dhamma, the theoretical aspect of the Dhamma, one feels rapturous. And this is in accordance with what is said in this seventh great reviewing. He or she considers thus the meaning of Arya. Once one has become an Arya, the first supermundane path, he or she considers thus. I also am possession of this strength. That is, the strength of a person who possesses the Aryan view, in that I am able to understand When listening to the Dhamma, I'm able to understand the letter and spirit of the law and feel extremely glad when I hear this thing. Such is the consideration or understanding as given in the seventh great reviewing. And after having reviewed this, he or she concludes, as given by the Buddha, that this is the seventh knowledge or great reviewing attained by one, that is a noble one, that is a noble, supermundane one, which is not shared by ordinary people, that is Buddhijanas. And of this seven great reviewing, in order to inspire the listeners or the devotees, the lay Venerable Master Sarva has given this aphorism, that after listening to the Dhamma, as for the Ariya, the noble one, or Sarapanna, he or she becomes clear after understanding the meaning, the letter and the spirit of the doctrine, and feels gladness and with PT running through the body. And such is the seventh great reviewing. And this is how I translate it. Hearing the Dhamma preached by the Buddha, one understands the meaning with zest. Zest means PT, pervading through the body. Such is the seventh great reviewing. Given in this seventh great reviewing, can also benefit the Pariyati Sasana, that means the teaching of the teaching by learning, teaching of the theoretical aspect of the Buddha Sasana, Buddha's teaching. Because as one is fulfilled with this practice of Vipassana, we'll come to understand Pali literature much better after one is undertaking the practice, rather than previously. So even in ordinary worldly lessons, one will come to understand such things better than ordinary students. One will, because one becomes convinced of the nature of his mind and body, and also teachings in connection with meditation. This connection, there was an incident some more than 30 years ago about a 60-year boy in a wonderful manner. He used to come to the meditation center with his grandmother, listen to the talks, and became familiar with such talks on mind and body, rupa and nama, and the nature of mind and body. And not only that, he became familiar with the expression of nibbana, and Sarah wanted to test his knowledge. So he asked his boy, what is rupa, body, what is nama, mind? And he was able to give answers in what a wonderful manner. He was able to explain it. And he was even able to say about their arising and passing away. And Sarah wanted to ask more. He asked about Nibbana. Do you understand Nibbana? He said, yes, this is the tradition of mind and body. So Sarah said, then there will be nothing there? He said, not so. It is just mere cessation. Then Sarah said, then where there is nothing, if there is nothing, there everything ceases to exist, and there won't be any ear, eye, to listen or see, and you will be able to see your beloved sister, and you will lose all kinds of pleasure, and you feel very bored by living there. How about it? So he said, he answered, no, there shouldn't be any boredom, because there's no nama there to feel bored. So only when you have nama mentality, you feel bored. You feel it. So there's no nama to feel it. So in this way he was able to answer in a very plain open manner. And also this boy has not taken on the practice as yet. So he was able to answer all these questions from his intelligence. So keen was his intelligence, intellect. So if only he was able to understand both the theoretical and practical aspects, or was able to undertake the practice in order to verify with the theory, then it would be very wonderful. So it is advisable not to neglect such youngsters. Maharishi Saro had this experience. Once a learned person came to him and said this. He said, although he had studied quite a lot, and he thought himself he was learned, but he was not really learned. He found out that he was not really learned. He was able to understand only a little more than just the rendering or translation of the Pali. Now, after taking the practice, he became more learned. That means he was more convinced of what is said of the Dharma. Now, after he had taken up the practice and he read the books, he was able to understand both the letter and spirit of the law. That is the meaning of the Dharma as given by this seventh great reviewing, and also the spirit of the law, the arrangements, how it was arranged and how it was done. And also by being convinced with the letter and spirit of the law, he was able to feel glad, beauty running through the body. And it was not the same kind of knowledge that he gained after the practice. It was a different thing. He was able to understand the doctrine more clearly. And he was not an ordinary person. He was a very learned individual. Moreover, at one time, one Mahathera, an elder, confessed like this to the late Venerable Mahajara. He said that learning the scriptures is not enough to be convinced of the Dhamma. For instance, among the 37 factors of enlightenment, there was this point of seven factors of enlightenment. There was this factor known as Tatra Vijatata or Ugata. It means Tatra, this or that object. Vijatata, being neutral, staying neutral, and the nature of neutrality as regards this or that object. In other words, one is neutral and balanced. There is no, without any elation or dejection about either pleasurable or unpleasurable objects. And one is said to be balanced without any likes or dislikes about good or bad objects. And there also will not be any distractions, restlessness and remorse. Mind will not be removed from the object of attention. Also balanced these two pairs of bosom states, namely Sada and Penya, faith and intellect are balanced. Neither of the two is in the extreme. And also Virya, energy and concentration, these two factors also will be balanced without any one of them being in excess of the other. Just like driving a chariot yoked by two equal pairs of bullocks or horses, as the case may be. So he explained that just being learned in scriptures by study is not enough to be convinced of the Dhamma. Only when one undertakes a practice will one be able to understand the real nature of the Dhamma, such as when there is too much of zeal, when there is too much of virya, then one may overshoot, too much of energy will overshoot the object, or if it's too low energy, one will not be able to catch up with the object. And in this way there are ups and downs for the practice is when one undertakes a practice. Especially when one comes to the stage of Udiyabhyajnana, that is the steadiness arising and passing away of psychophysical phenomena, everything becomes balanced. Especially at the higher insight knowledge, known as Sankara Rupa Kalyana, requires to note every arising object with calmness, with ease, and such is the nature of equanimity towards all formations. And he was able to understand the meaning of Upeka Bhojanga, the factor of enlightenment of Upeka, and the equanimity. Only when one takes the practice and reaches these two kinds of insight knowledges. If just one is learned in scriptures, one will not be able to be convinced of the meaning of the letter and spirit of the law, as was considered by the Ariyan Sarapana. And if one does not, one is not well convinced of the nature of the Dhamma, how can one convince others? That is a question. As for the practitioner, the yogis, if he or she has reached these two stages of insight knowledge, Udiyabhyajnana and Sankarupa Kalyana, and certainly there's arising and passing away and equanimity towards all formations, and one will come to understand, one will be able to explain what is meant by Upeka and how one feels and how one experiences at Upeka equanimity or neutrality. Because one can explain it from one's own particular experience in a more easy manner. At one time, in those eras, in one era, there was an era of literature, literary talents, and sort of considered that one literary talent was really good in literatures, and since Sarah himself also grew up with learning of literatures, holy scriptures, he also held this kind of thing in high esteem. Only when Mahajaro came up, appeared, who was able to give practical experience, teach practical experience, and he was able to verify his practical experience with what is said in the literatures, or vice versa, and he found out that it was more easily convincible. Because as for just mere literary knowledge, one cannot understand the nature of the Dhamma. One can only understand the literary aspect of the Dhamma. Now with the practice and realization of the insight knowledges, one is able to understand the true nature or the real nature of the Dhamma. If one is just reading books or scriptures, then it will be just like tasting or eating food which has no salt in it. It will become bland or plain and not stimulating. Only when, in the case of Mahajara, he was able to give both in theoretical and practical aspects of the teachings, so that by undertaking the practice and by being able to verify the literary knowledge with practical experience, one is able to understand the true nature of the Dhamma rather than just the literary aspect. So only with the practice, one can understand the meaning of the Dhamma as is given in this great reviewing.
Now,
Also, in the case of this another factor of enlightenment, namely piti sambojana, the enlightenment factor of rapture or zest. It won't, only one can understand with one's own particular experience, otherwise one will not be able to be convinced of the nature of this piti sambojana. Only when one has reached the stage of Uriyabhyanjana, the instantaneous arising and passing away of psychophysical phenomena, even one is not learned in scriptures, if one is revealed or told about these five kinds of piti, one will understand very easily. And it is where this Mahathera, the elder whom we are talking about, was able to explain about such things to Vasishyaro. Therefore, only when one is as practiced, vipassana to satisfaction, will one be able to support the pariyati sasana, that is, the teaching, the literary aspect of Buddha's teaching.
Adilo. Lecture Buddha Sabi, Buddha Sabi lecture. Swayam Bhukhu Yaga Sabi Bhucha ni me soye. Tiya Khobyo ni me solu chiye. Tukuri le tino bhiro guri. Tama wacha ja Khobyo Bhucha ni maare. Sati ne Bhukhu Yaga Bhale me tiya to tima delu chiye. Siti jimu samari ga kao ni le tue. Tati jime le.
If one has undertaken the practice of the Dharma, then one will also be supporting the pariyati, the literary aspect of Buddha Sasana, and in this way one possesses a dual qualification of both learning and practice. And if such a person gives the Dhamma talk or teaches, then it will be very more convincing than other people, because one is teaching from one's own experience. And one can convince by way of the nature of the Dhamma. And also students as well. If a student has undertaken the practice because he or she is well concentrated, the mind is serene, so he or she will be able to understand the teachings more easily. Even in the mundane worldly teachings, worldly matters, if the youngsters have undertaken the practice, he or she will be able to understand teachings better than others. This has been explained or confessed by the parents and guardians of these children. Therefore, the practice can support the literary aspect of Buddha Sasana. Yes, I've been explained that when one is hearing the Dhamma Vinaya doctrine discipline, then as for the Ariya, he or she is easily convinced. And such is the strength possessed by the noble ones, Ariyas. And as for Purujanas, it is different. When they hear the Dhamma, they would complain that, oh, this is too profound and too boring, too dry, not stimulating. They want to hear stimulating stories. They want to hear good voice, like singing. They want to hear some humorous stories, to laugh, to be funny ones. And if they are given this insight, vipassana talks, mostly they don't go for such things. However, as for those who have undertaken the practice of meditation, when they hear this Dhamma talks, they can verify with this pariyati, that means the teachings, the teaching aspect of the Dhamma, and they are easily convinced of the meaning and the letter and the spirit of the law. Such is the seventh great reviewing, how the Ariyas or noble ones are fulfilled with or come into possession of the strength that they possess. Those kind of talks which are seemingly stimulating, and with stories, some transitional stories, some funny stories, some comedies, and things like that, according to the desires of ordinary folks. In the beginning, there may be some rapturous feeling, because it's so funny, laughable things, and it may be stimulating. But later on, since there is no essence in the talks, because there are only some laughable, funny things involved, nothing essential will be left behind after when the talk is over. Not so with the talks on Satipatthana, and it may not be stimulating or in ordinary sense, because it's so plain and blank and dry in the beginning. But this is the teaching for the welfare of all beings and teaching of rules of conduct, how to behave in undertaking the teachings. And especially when one has seen this higher knowledge of the insidious rising and passing away. Although in the beginning it may be dry, it may feel dry, one may feel dry, later on one may feel stimulated, interested. So that this kind of one may be able to realize kind of happiness, which is because this kind of talk uplifts one's mind and insight, developing the mind and insight, and this kind of happiness which can result from this practice is unalloyed and unforsakable. So, unalloyed means it is good in itself, by itself, just one with one item. If it's good in one item, then you will not let go of it, unforsakable, because it becomes stimulating. So whoever has taken up the practice respectfully, meticulously, will become stimulated and will become inspired and energized. Such is the difference between the ordinary talk without an insatipatthana and vipassana, or talks on vipassana. Just try and verify it. So if one has undertaken the practice, and although in the beginning it may be boring, plain, later on it becomes stimulated and interesting, and you can try and verify regarding this with the seven great reviewing. This much for today.